Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to worship this morning. Good to be gathered together today. This morning, both Rosemary and Glenda are away, so no one up front leading the singing. So sing up well this morning, folks. That would be really great. I'll leave it on, but I'll be standing back there. We'll see how we go. But the ones this morning, it's Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord, crown him with many crowns, now the green blade rises and be thou my vision. Should be all up on the screen this morning if everything stays together for the next hour, up on the screen. A little bit more about that later on. So welcome to those of you who are here in the room this morning. Also welcome to those who will listen or watch a little later at a different time. We're so glad that we're able to share together in this way. Later the gospel reading is from John chapter 20, which continues the resurrection appearances of Jesus. John 20 will be where Jesus appears to his disciples on the evening of the first Easter day. And then the encounter with. And so our call to worship this morning picks up on this and from John chapter 20. It was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. We too have come together this day. Perhaps some of us come weary in body and mind. Perhaps some of us come tired in spirit. Some of us may come with stresses and angers, with sorrows and fears, as did those disciples. We may come with anxieties as we gather. We may come with fears and anxieties about the unknown, perhaps of the changes that are taking place in our world, in this nation, the wider community, and indeed the church community. Perhaps of making decisions, perhaps of some appointment that's coming up this week that we know we have to attend to. Perhaps some fear and anxiety about being different, of criticism. If that's the case, we hear the gospel reading, including where Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. We pray. We worship you, O God, aware that we are people at various stages of our journey of faith. And knowledge of you has been shaped by diverse experiences and teachings and relationships throughout our lives. At times, we move between faith and question, certainty, and perhaps even unbelief. So today we rejoice in the word of the gospel, where John declares that he has written to confirm and strengthen our belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing we might have life in his name. We worship you, O God, with praise and thanksgiving for that gift of life made possible through Jesus' costly death and victorious resurrection. Strengthen and confirm our belief in Jesus in this time of worship here today. May we know the blessings of his peace within us and the breath of his Spirit upon us. We offer this prayer and our worship in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We stand to sing Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. So if you're able to stand, I invite you to do so as we sing.
Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, Alleluia, give praise to
seated. I'll lead us in prayer. Generous God, you give us the gift of your Spirit, but we confess that we have not known that gift as best as we could. You send us the Spirit of courage, but there are times when we've been afraid of the good news and to speak the good news of Christ. You send us the Spirit of truth, but there are times when we cling to what we believe to be truth that turns only to be illusion. You send us the Spirit of healing, but we cannot let go of our hurts at times, O Lord. So come to us again, shake our hearts, set our souls on fire with your love, and send us out into the world rejoicing in your power. Set us free that we might discover anew the challenge and the joy of the good news, as we pray in the name of Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. As we continue in this season of Easter, we know that God has exalted Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, that he might turn us back to God and free us from our sins through the death of that same Christ. All who put their trust in him have life in his name. With confidence I declare that your sins are forgiven and be at peace. We say thanks be to God. Amen. And so we're able to share that peace, and I invite you to do so with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And just as Dawn comes forward for the readings, let's see, Saul. A big word of thanks to Saul. On Friday, he and I were here trying to troubleshoot the projector from the last couple of weeks and try and work out what was going on. And I really appreciate Saul's skills in that. He had the data projector basically pulled apart and realised that it wasn't just an issue with the bulb, but actually an issue with the motherboard. So it's a new projector or something different coming up sometime soon. So, inspired by Michael J. Fox and Back to the Future, we've dug out the old computer and fired it up. And so it's kind of held together with strings and barbed wire and binder twine that we used to use on the farm. I think we're okay for the next 45 minutes, so let's see how we go. So if you see Saul, go good on you, because it was really helpful to know that we don't need to put our energy into that old projector. Okay. Thanks, Dawn.
Welcome to everyone, and it's very good to see you all here today, and especially to have our friends back. We had sad reasons for meeting up with them recently, and now it's good to see them again. We have various prayer points that are quite helpful today. We'll find that there are many things that are on our minds that are here as suggestions for us. So we continue to pray for those in our church community of particular needs, including Sylvia's family. Sylvia, as you know, died last weekend, and a memorial service will take place at Kenmore Uniting Church on Thursday, the 23rd of April. It's in your reflection, so you don't have to write it down now. It's being held in Sydney next week, and another one here for us in Kenmore. So that's a really lovely thing for them to organise. You can read the details in the reflections. Now, this week we have another Music Lovers, and in the coming week, and Rosemary will be back by then. And at 10 a.m. there'll be a concert from the Dexterous Digits Duo. Cassie and James have been regulars with Music Lovers for quite some time, several years now, and everybody is sure to enjoy that. Some of you would have known Reverend Duncan Harrison, and or known of him. He was a moderator at one stage and he's been at Fairview for quite a while. Very helpful to Brenda and Ted for many times, a good friend to them and to many others. And he passed away also on Good Friday, and his funeral is at Indooroopilly Uniting next Friday. So there'll be some who are interested. Again, we did put the details in Reflections. So there's lots of international things that we are needing to give prayer support to, and you can read them, but given the horrific attacks in Nigeria, you might be glad, have a look in Reflections too, because we were very fortunate to have a man from Nigeria speak at World Day of Prayer, and I think that was supporting a very important projects to help with trauma counselling and various things for some of the people who've been displaced within their own country. So that needs a lot of our concern. Coffee and chat. Reverend David will not be at one table this Wednesday because he has the Iona service. So you miss out, but it's there again. A message from Coralie is that we will continue collecting for the Lent event for another 2 days. So you can read a bit more about that as well in the magazine. The United States have certainly cut their aid program everywhere drastically, and there is a lot of need. So that Lent event is really helping people in our not neck of the woods really, because it's over a wide area, but very useful. So if you haven't had the opportunity to give yet, read up the details. Now, Artburst will be having a meeting on the 14th of May. I can't tell you the time because they haven't quite decided when it's going to be church council and when it's going to be Artburst in that day. But if you come down, bring your lunch, you might as well stay through for the lot if you're on the council. And, of course, Women's Refuge. Their problems are magnified by their situation, and so it looked like we're getting ready for another pickup. So if you can get what you can in, it's all along that seat there. Put anything that you think of when you're down at the supermarket. Please remember that. It's probably due for another collection very, very shortly. Thank you.
As Dawn mentioned, Sylvia's memorial service will be here on the 23rd, but please be conscious of the family on the 16th. When there's a memorial service in Sydney. At that time, not quite sure of the time, I'll check with Debbie. After the memorial service, there'll be some refreshments in the hall as well, which the family are taking care of. So please continue to pray for them. I want to just lead us in prayer for a couple of situations. Also, Andrew Hayes, Wendy said that he's away this weekend with some of his scouting. You might not know, Andrew is really quite involved with scouts, and he's away with some commitments for that. And so I wanted to just pray for him as well. And that, and I don't know, we have any birthdays? I'm not sure. I didn't look up the list. I think we're okay. Sorry, Saha? Tomorrow's your birthday. Excellent. Put that in. Excellent, Saha. That's excellent. So tomorrow is Saha's birthday. And, crikey. Zoe, sorry, Zoe. And when's yours, Zoe? Chloe. Oh, crikey. I'm so sorry. Because I've been thinking, now it's Rachel who's gone overseas, and I've been, so I'm thinking Rachel. Okay, Chloe. So when's yours, Chloe? On Wednesday. Well, Wednesday the 15th. Gee, that's a big day. That's our daughter Jess's birthday then, and my sister's birthday as well. So there you go. How's Rachel going, by the way? Rachel went to, last night she was in France. She made it to France. You might recall, Rachel was going over to spend some time with some missionaries, ultimately heading to Romania, but was due to fly out when bombs started to fly around Iran and Dubai and places. So, but she did get to France. Okay, is she still in France at the moment? Okay, how's she going? Magnifique. Okay, Social Society, missionaries in France, and that's excellent. So let's pray for Rachel as well. And also, Dawn mentioned about Duncan Harrison's death, and also mentioned about Brenda and Ted. Certainly that's been reciprocated a bit. Brenda's been really basically the next-door neighbours there. So Brenda's had a lot of contact with Duncan in a variety of ways, but certainly in offering some practical support. But together, they've been able to, I suspect, just offer some spiritual care to each other along the way. And so I think we can also include Brenda in some of our prayers, who would be particularly feeling that at this time. We pray. Lord our God, part of our life together as a community here is recognising just the significant times that happen for people. And we are so thrilled, Lord, to hear of Saha's birthday tomorrow. And thank you for her and Saul. And pray particularly for your blessing upon her and her family and the different circumstances that they have at the time and with her folks as well and family in places overseas as well. Please reassure her with your peace and let your blessing rest upon her. And similarly, Father, for Chloe as well, and I think of Jess and my sister Ruth as well on Wednesday, and thank you for those celebrations. Thank you for their family. Lord, we pray for Chloe that as she gets to Wednesday, that she may be particularly conscious of the love and care of her family, but of you especially, and of your peace and of your strengthening her day by day. We pray for Rachel over in France, and as she continues her life there and as she continues to grow amongst that community, particularly among the missionary family there, draw her closer and closer to you, reassure her family back here of your care for her. We pray, Lord, also for Andrew and his commitments with Scouts this weekend. Thank you for his leadership, both within the Scouting movement, but also within the congregation here. Let your blessing rest upon him, particularly give him wisdom in the decisions and responsibilities that he has this weekend. Lord, we continue to pray for the Harrison family, especially as they prepare for Duncan's funeral this week. We pray for the Fairview community, particularly for Brenda and those who spent time with Duncan. Thank you for the way that care has been given and received, particularly between these two amazing neighbours, and let your peace rest upon her and many others out there at this time. As we pray, Lord, later for many within the life of our congregation, we will draw together prayers for Sylvia's family and many others, and we pray these things in and through the name of Christ. Amen. We sing Crown Him with Many Crowns. The first four verses, there's a couple of other verses that we won't sing this morning, but Crown Him with Many Crowns again as we continue in this season of Easter.
Thank you.
seated.
Our gospel reading today is from John 20, verses 19 to 31. Jesus appears to his disciples. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and be with you. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me." In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. O Lord, prepare our hearts to receive your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that herein we may also obey your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I just want to start with a few paintings that I've come across. I'm in Reflections as a refer to a few paintings connected with Easter that I've seen over the last little while. And this is an absolute cracker. I just love this painting. This was done by, I think it's a Dutch artist. Let me just go here. Swiss. Eugenie Bernand. Have people seen this painting? So Eugenie did this. It's called "The Disciples Peter and John Running to the Sepulchre on the Morning of the Resurrection," 1898. He paints this. John on the left, Peter on the right. When I first saw this painting, I thought, man, that's brilliant. Just look at how he captures the emotion of this moment in this painting. It's extraordinary. John there, hands clasped together, sort of filled with hope. Remember that John was once stood at the cross, the beloved disciple. John, here's your mother. Mother, here's your son. So John kind of looking a bit more optimistic than Peter is. And Peter here is maybe hoping against all hope that it is true. We'll come back to this shortly again. But I was reading a commentator who wrote something about this. He said, when he's looking at this painting, he said, "The picture crackles with kinetic energy. It is a study in desperate anticipation. Surely this is also the posture with which we should approach Easter, leaning in, wringing our hands, clutching our chest, desperate for it to be true." Desperate for it to be true. What is truth? What is truth? We heard that on the lips of Pilate in the trial of Jesus. What is true? And we'll come back to that in a moment. Again, there's a couple of Facebook posts I'll talk about this morning, that this is one, I follow the Babylon Bee. It's kind of like a humorous American kind of thing. Sometimes it's a bit out there. Well, I thought this was pretty funny. You know, there's a little painting. This is Thomas and Jesus appearing. And he goes, oh, he's right behind me, isn't he? Says Thomas after declaring he won't believe Jesus rose until he sees him. Oh, he's standing right behind me, isn't he? Pretty funny. Anyway, Bloch, and sometime in the mid to late 1800s, Thomas and the encounter with Jesus. A bit hard to make out, but there's a scar on the left-hand side of Jesus there on his torso. And I get this as the moment that Thomas declares Jesus as my Lord and my God. Whereas this one by Cavaccio, now if you're a bit queasy, just look the other way for a moment, but Cavaccio, who I mentioned in Reflections, this is his classic painting of this scene as well, the incredulity, how do you say that word, Now, we don't know if Thomas actually did put his hands in the side. Jesus says, do that, but the text doesn't tell us that. But Cavaccio has that happening. Again, Thomas there. What is truth? What is truth? This is one of the things I want to reflect on a little bit this morning. A few of us at one table a few weeks ago, we got to thinking a bit about this, of how difficult it is these days to know what is true and what is fake. It's a huge challenge for us. Forget who it was that said, but I wrote it down. One of you said it impacts trust. It impacts trust, what we trust and what we don't. What's true? What is truth? The first thing in our readings that we get today is that Jesus appears to his disciples on the evening of that first day of the week. And it says the first day of the week, and that's why Sunday is the first day of the week, because it's Resurrection Day, it's Easter Day. The disciples are gathered together for fear of the Jews. And again, when we hear this, the Jews, as I said the last couple of weeks, we need to read into that. It's the hostile religious authorities. I mean, they're all Jews that are gathered there. They're not afraid of themselves. They're afraid of the hostile Jewish authority. So that's what we need to read when we say they're for fear of the Jews. So they're locked away. They've heard Mary at this point. Mary is the only one that has seen Jesus. And this is now the evening. They're locked away for fear. So they have not, except for Mary, they have not yet seen the risen Jesus, and they're fearful, locked away. And then Jesus appears to them. And this is the thing, we talked a little bit about this in our Bible study during Lent, that Jesus resurrected does things that, like this, just appears. Okay, and it's a different thing than what happened to Lazarus. The account of Lazarus about a month ago. Lazarus, I guess we could say, was resuscitated. That's not a good description, but compared to what happened to Jesus, it was different. It was Lazarus died again. Jesus didn't. And Jesus would just appear and then he'd be gone. But he was physically there. And this passage in John is very much about the physical things. They're locked away. Jesus comes. He says, look at my side and my hands. It was physically him. And in John's accounts particularly, on John 20 and 21, we have lots of these things where Jesus is physically doing things, and there's this emphasis to say it really, really, really is Jesus. And again, with Thomas, now whether it's like Cavaccio painted there, whether Thomas actually did put his hands in his side, but it's physically Jesus, he's there. Later in the next chapter, he's eating fish and bread around a campfire at breakfast. It's physically Jesus. It's the same Jesus. It's a bit different of how he suddenly appears. And he says to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now, this is a normal greeting, shalom, shalom. But the context says to us here When Jesus says this usual greeting, peace be with you, it's anything but a usual greeting. It's not as if Jesus comes in the room and says, hi guys, good to see you again. It's a bit more than that. It's much, much more than that. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, confused, frightened disciples and followers of mine. Peace be with you. It is me. Thomas is not there. A week later, what a week that must have been. Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall on that week? But Thomas gets his chance. He says that he won't believe until he sees. He won't believe. He will not have faith. In fact, what Jesus says to him later on is says, we kind of have it often translated as doubting. It's actually not having faith. Jesus says to him, Thomas, no longer be unfaithful, but be faithful. Be faithful. Be full of faith. The disciples, they should have believed Mary's news, just as Thomas should have believed theirs. So the disciples, we sort of single Thomas out, but really the other disciples were doing the same thing. Believe. To his credit, we have one of the most direct affirmations of faith in all of the Gospels. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. On the lips of Thomas. There's lots of things we could talk about, proof, and I do want to touch on that this morning about proof and truth, where about truth. And eyewitness accounts are really, really important here. An eyewitness account. And what we discover is that the Gospels, the New Testament tells us there were so many eyewitnesses' accounts that Jesus was alive. From Mary to the disciples to Thomas to 500 people that witnessed that Jesus was alive, and ultimately to Paul, who tells us about 500 and says ultimately to me, he says. And there's lots of things we could talk about that, and particularly about these accounts that, and female people here this morning, but one of the big positive things about eyewitnesses is that to have an eyewitness who was a woman as the first eyewitness, you wouldn't put that in your account to prove something, unless it was true. Back in these days, very unreliable witnesses. That's just how it was. Sorry. That's just how it was. But it's proof that you wouldn't put that in there unless it was true. Because if you wanted someone to disprove and say, ah, what a load of baloney, you'd go, oh, let's have a woman as the first eyewitness. Okay, but that's what we have, and so for me, that only adds to the proof that this is actually fair dinkum. And also the fact that the disciples here and so many others since then, even last week in Nigeria, gave their lives for this. They give their lives for this. Back on the 8th of April 1945, two men are in a German concentration camp. One bloke's name is Payne Best, the other is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Payne Best recounts in his memoir that on that day, two plainclothes German officers come in and take Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who has been very overtly proclaiming in his Christian faith against the Nazis. Long story, but here he is in a concentration camp. Payne says that on that day, two officers came in, take him out, and he says that Bonhoeffer came across to him and said this, This is the end. For me, this is the beginning of my life. That's trusting the resurrection of Jesus. Next day, he's executed by the Nazis. He knows that that is coming. This is the end. For me, this is the beginning of my life. That's trusting this story of the resurrection. As I said, there's so much that we have to question these days, so much that we question. In fact, I don't know about you, but really the starting point for me is to question everything now. There's so much around that we just go, I wonder if that's actually true. An account, something that's written, a photo, something on Facebook. I don't know. You've got to try and back it up a lot of ways. And, you know, I mean, we could go back to, people trying to, what about that moon landing on Apollo 11? Did that happen? You know? And I'm sure there'll be photos that will appear, and they probably already have. I don't know, Phil, you might have seen some of the, I don't know. But, Artemis 2 just flew around the moon. Did they take some photos of the moon landing sites? I saw one the other day where they did. I reckon it's not true. It may be they did, but I think the photo I was looking at was a mock-up one. I don't know. No. That'll prove it. There's the little Elvis is alive somewhere. Isn't he? That's another one. Thank you. What do we do in the face of this? And one of the things, folks, is that the church, the Christian faith, has something to offer into this space. The Christian faith offers authenticity and genuine connection and relationships in a world where everything is challenged as fake and unreal. Christian community offers authentic connections and genuine relationships. William Wallerman talks a little bit about this. He's a theologian, United Methodist minister in the States. He spends a lot of time thinking about authentic life in the church. And he points to an authentic Christian community as a place where people are real, a place where we acknowledge that we're not okay at times. That is, that we admit that we need God and we need each other. A place where we let go any pretense of being successful or being self-sufficient. That is, that there's this upfront acknowledgement that we're sinners in need of the grace of God and of God's forgiveness. Romans 3:23 stuff, that we acknowledge that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I got to thinking a bit more about this. I thought about that authenticity, and again, within us in the life of the church, the Christian community, comes from a place of vulnerability, from a recognition of our shared brokenness, and that genuine relationships are built through that kind of honesty. This is what we're on about within the life of the Christian church, that this is a shared truth. And this is one of the gifts that Christianity offers to a world that's weary of fake news, that's weary of shallowness, that's weary of having to appear like I'm okay, I'm successful, I'm independent. A world that's weary of building my world on the premise that I did it my way and stuff the rest of you. Christianity says you won't find your true self by only looking inwards. That, sure, be true to yourself, but it's more about being true to God's story, to being true to the gospel accounts lived out amongst this weird and wonderful community that we call the church. That you need to look beyond yourself to find meaning, to look to your place in the world and its needs, but even more profoundly, to look to Jesus, who says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. that I'm the truth. Look to this Jesus. To this Jesus who says, take courage, I have overcome the world, as he says to his frightened disciples in the upper room before he's arrested. To the Jesus who says, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. This is what we have to offer to this worn, weary world. To the Jesus who says, peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The Jesus who appears to his disciples who are scared, confused, unsure, feeling guilty, and says, peace be with you. This is why we can offer authentic, genuine connections, relationships, community, is because we need forgiveness, who offers truth, who offers peace, who offers a new beginning despite our stupidity, despite our pretense of self-sufficiency, despite our rebellion. The one who gives us meaning and purpose and identity. We have the opportunity, folks, to live this out. This kind of authentic community around Charbar this morning at morning tea, we have the opportunity to live that out. After the service, when you go to whatever it is that you're going to, you have the opportunity to do that. Then tomorrow, and certainly on Thursday morning at Music Lovers here, we have this opportunity to be an authentic Christian community to those who will gather here. Now, we'll gather to enjoy the music of Cassandra and James, certainly. But as members of the congregation, we have the opportunity to exercise, to live out authentic community and genuine connections as we serve those who come and as we listen to those who come. To listen well on Thursday, to serve well, to exude authenticity. The world surely needs it. And there'll be people in the room here on Thursday morning who need it. And it may surprise you what you hear. You may find yourself offering to meet someone for coffee the next day. Can we talk a little more about that? To finish. We come back to this picture here. When I think about sort of things that I've talked about this morning, I find this picture so reassuring, this painting. I reckon we're in there somewhere. That same commentator goes on to say this, haven't we been bearing the burden of our brokenness? He's talking about Lent and Easter. Haven't we been bearing the burden of our brokenness, ashamed of our denials of Christ, and hoping against all hope that Jesus is alive and that he loves us and forgives us? That's our experience of resurrection too, isn't it? We take it by faith and we're desperate for it to be true. We rush headlong into the future, holding ourselves in order to believe, trusting that Christ is alive and that he will return to vindicate our feeble faith and forgive us. I just want to finish with this. You might not be able to read this, but I'm back to Nick Cave again, as I often quote from him. But this came out, this was his during the week. I've made it a bit more suitable for us this morning, with some of the language, hopefully. But again, Nick Cave writes his response to people who send him questions. And there was a whole series of questions. And the first one was from Leonie, who said, once again, I wake up to a world that feels completely meaningless. Why bother? There's a couple of other questions. The last question that he got that he addresses was, any advice for a young songwriter? Marshall from Switzerland. And right towards the end, he addresses each of these questions in various ways, but right at the end, he says this, and he directs this to Marshall, who's this young songwriter. He gives him some advice, but he actually addresses the first question. I want to finish with this today. You have embarked on a noble path, who is to fully offer up your messy, broken, limited, disastrous human self to the act of creation. And through that eternal alchemical sleight of hand, whatever that means, write a song that is new, beautiful and awe-inspiring, and then go and do it again. Become the all-singing, all-dancing, all-human answer to this most dark and demoralised question, this world has no meaning, why bother? And as I thought a bit more about that, I thought, you know, as Christian people, that's our task. As followers of Jesus, the one who lived the most authentic, genuine, truthful life that's ever been, as followers of this Jesus, we, not necessarily literally, but all singing, all dancing, the answer, let this Christian community be the answer to this most dark and demoralised question, the world has no meaning, why bother with it? The people of Kenmore and beyond cry out this question in all kinds of ways. And as we engage with them, let's talk of the Jesus. Let's point to the answer to this question. Let's talk of the Jesus who brings restoration out of brokenness, hope in the midst of darkness, forgiveness in the midst of guilt and shame, life when there is death. Peace be with you, Jesus said. Peace be with you. Amen. We sing Now the Green Blade Rises. We'll remain seated as our offering's received, and at the last verse I'll invite us to stand if we're able to. And I think there's four verses, so we'll stand on the fourth. The green blade rises from the very grave, that in the darker many days has laid. Lovely surrender with the dead has been. Love has come again.
up green.
Gracious and loving God, you raised Jesus from the dead, disclosing forever your love for the world. Such a generous act not only showers us with grace, it begs a response. We respond in part with these gifts in our lives, praying your blessing on them. As you sent Jesus, so send us in the power of your Spirit to reveal your love in all we do and say. In the name of our risen Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Let us join together in prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Heavenly Father, today we thank you for ordinary things. A cup of tea in a mug given by a friend. The sight of two dragonflies dancing in the air above the swimming pool. What glorious lightness as they joyfully move through the air. Such ordinary little creatures, but such magic in motion. Hanging tea towels on the line. A slight breeze making them flap damply on my face. But in a couple of hours I'll bring them in, fold them smelling fresh and clean and useful again. The sound of a child down the road starting to learn the piano, with faltering notes and silences as they work it out and start to get the rhythm of the scale. An ordinary sound. But what amazing potential for lifelong pleasure as either a player or a listener. Thank you, Lord, for all these ordinary things in our daily life. Wrap us in gratitude to protect us from the intense, wider and intrusive clangour of national and international events. Help these ordinary things make us strong so we can think clearly about what horrors are happening and not be dragged into bitter and useless anger. Make us strong so that we can focus on what we can usefully do to support the victims of so much violence without wasting energy that achieves nothing or that makes us just shut down and try not to even listen or understand. We find the extreme rhetoric about the Middle East situation very distressing, Lord. To find people on both sides making dire threats and saying they do it to your glory is shocking to most of us. We ask you to find the people of goodwill and sincerity on every side who can work through this conflict and find some answers. We ask your blessing on all those who are more intimately affected by events overseas, that they may be able to continue to do today. Please support those who in Australia are watching their businesses disintegrate. Help us to be brave to speak if we hear ill-natured judgment and upsetting criticism without knowing any facts. Help us find practical solutions for people truly affected by current conditions, and if we can't, then help us to listen to their problems and, where possible, offer hope. We ask your blessing on those for whom international chaos has little meaning because their own lives are such a struggle from day to day. May they find the daily assistance they need to keep going and punctuate the struggle with some moments of joy to give them a lift. We are so grateful today for the safe return of the astronauts and seeing the joy of people dedicated to learning more about your extraordinary universe and all those being meticulous in the background to ensure their safety. It is very special to see people working for a greater good and not just for more money or to destroy someone else. Thank you for the amazing sights we have seen from our homes of your beautiful creation. May they inspire all of us to find something every day, even if quite ordinary, that is useful or beautiful or compassionate. Keep us focused as Christ was on serving neighbours and strangers in the way that we are able. Help us to do the good that is right in front of us, to see in the name of Jesus. Let us say his prayer together, sincerely and with all our hearts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Jenny, what I'll do is I'll say the blessing first and then we'll have the hymn, okay? Yeah. So to conclude our service this morning, shortly I'll say a benediction and then we'll finish with Be Thou My Vision, which is on there. So if you're able to, I invite you to stand for the blessing. May God continue the work of salvation in you, and may Christ Jesus meet you in your doubts and fears. And may the Holy Spirit fill you with peace and speak through you with mercy. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. We sing.